is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off, Skip.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical. It's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's Monday. Glad to have you here with us on the Steve Gruber Show for this Monday. Breaking news right now. I just got this. Since Donald Trump took office, according to left-wing activists, media commentators, and Hollywood elite, the world has ended at least 49 times since Donald Trump became president. 49 times the world has actually come to an end, if you were not aware of it. But if you listen to the left-wing activists, media commentators, and the Hollywood elite, there's the number. That's the official number as of today, that the world has ended 49 times. I don't believe it's ended. I believe that this president, Donald Trump, is shocking the left by having the nerve to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And in a timely schedule, getting it done fast. The hotline is open for your comments and your concerns, 888-900-9966. There she is, the lady of the hour, Jennifer, on the hotline. Welcome to it.
Thank you so much. I dearly love you, Professor. What the American people don't understand, and it's beyond me why they don't, is that the people that are coming into this country do not have their same values. They are not raised the same way we are. They are not taught the same things that we have been taught or supposed to have been taught before they tried to change the educational system. When they allowed these people to come in unvetted, they are coming in with all their philosophies that they have been taught. They're not here to get along with us or obey our laws. They're still bringing with them all their culture, all their teachings, and everything that they have been taught since childhood. The other thing is, I just do not understand why the American people cannot get it through their head that the reason that they want all these illegals to come into this country is to change our culture. So we are not the United States of America. We do not have our values. I just get so upset with that.
Well, I agree with you, Jennifer. I think that there's a lot of folks coming here from third world hellholes and war-torn hellholes trying to turn America into a third world hellhole and a war-torn hellhole. They want to turn America into what they left. It makes no sense whatsoever, which reminds me of what Teddy Roosevelt said. If you want to come here, fine. But if you don't learn the language and become part of the culture within 5 years, you leave. You see,
now
a lot of folks are not here to be part of the melting pot.
Mexican.
Go ahead.
May I say one more thing?
Of course.
Call me an old hag if you wish, but I long for the day when I was growing up that when a young man came to the house, he had respect for the girl, because if he didn't, her dad would grab you by the collar and shake you up. Men have no respect for the women today, and it's not their fault.
They haven't been taught right.
The women that were out there marching.
No, trust me. I was right in the middle of it, Jennifer.
Street bridges?
I was right in the middle of it, Jennifer. I can appreciate it. And thank you for the call so much. 888-900-9966. Whatever's on your mind is open today, talking about the ban on refugees, which, again, is nothing more than Donald Trump enforcing the law signed into law by Barack Obama on the 18th of December, 2015. Tom on the line in DeWitt, Michigan today. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hey, just remind these hypocrite Democrats about the time the Janarino sent the feds in to get Julian Gonzalez, and they came in their bedroom in the middle of the night with automatic weapons to send him back to Cuba. And also remind them about the time that they set the Branch Davidians on fire for no reason at all, really.
Well, they burned them to the ground in Waco, Texas, April the 19th, 1993.
That's right. Their religious liberty is there, huh? So much for religious liberty is there for the Democrats, the hypocrites.
There you go, Tom. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, David Koresh, the Branch Davidians, lit on fire, burned like a bunch of ants in a box. That was the 19th of April, 1993. By the way, Jimmy Carter banned anyone coming in from Iran, expelled students, ordered 50,000 students, Iranian students only. And anyone not in compliance with the terms of their visas or their papers were deported immediately. Deported immediately, and that was 1979. All right, so these things have gone on for quite some time. By the way, in Quebec, the investigation continuing into the terrorist attack there last evening, 6 people dead, at least 8 injured. The police in Quebec City, Quebec, saying it is a terrorist attack. It happened at a mosque. But eyewitnesses report that those 2 men with masks that came to the mosque and attacked with semi-automatic weapons were yelling Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, as they murdered those that were there for prayer. As many as 60 or more may have been in prayer attendance. Of course, the women weren't there. It was all men. The women, of course, not allowed to pray with the men, because that's the way it is, because in that culture, women are second-class citizens. The women were on a different floor of the building, so no women injured in the attack because women are not allowed to be with men during their time of prayer. Anyhow, so in Quebec, they continue to look into that attack. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. What do you make of all these conversations right now? Dana checking in from Grand Rapids. Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And good morning to you, Steve. I'll tell you what I make of all of these. And I want this specially directed where you are and where I came from. You're in Lansing to the Michigan State students, the white liberals, and to the U of M students in Ann Arbor. The American-born Muslims that have been here for years, there was a study done, 60%. Agree with Sharia law, 40% think what ISIS is doing is okay because it's in the name of God. And so if they think that by doing all this protesting, what's going to end up happening is there's not going to be any more student loans for them. There's not going to be any more grants for them because they're not going to be alive. They're going to be the first ones that are going to be targeted. Because people with big mouths on the left, look what happened in the Russian Revolution. Mm. The Bolsheviks killed their own because you've got to get rid of the ones that are stirring the pot. So maybe they need to remember that, press their upper and lower lips together before they shoot their mouths off.
Well, it's a little too late for that, Dana. A little, yeah, the conversation's going to continue. Dana, greatly appreciate you checking in from Grand Rapids today. The hotline, you know, we'll go ahead and keep it open today. When we come back after the break, though, Brother Shane will be here. He was traveling home from being out of the country on the weekend and found out that he got jammed all up in these protests when he was flying through Chicago on his way back to Detroit. But more interestingly, we'll have him talk about that and the protesters because he was in the middle of the scrum. But just as interesting were the comments from the tourists that he was with on the beach down in Jamaica, many of them Canadian. I was shocked at what they actually think of Donald Trump, and, well, you just got to hear it. It's 14 after on a Monday. We'll be right back.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, well, if you miss a week, you miss a lot around here with what's going on, that's for sure. You know, you go on vacation somewhere and don't pay attention to your cell phone or the news for a week. Man, it feels like you've been gone for a year because of the breakneck pace that Donald Trump is going through, whether it's the TPP or the Southern Wall, the border at the Mexican border, the wall at the Mexican border, the pipelines for Keystone XL, the list goes on and on and on. Of course, then comes the temporary ban on refugees coming from 7 countries. Barack Obama's law signed in 2015 and then put into effect by Donald Trump. Of course, the left not accepting that. But if you didn't know and you're just flying back into the country, man, it could have been a big surprise. My brother Shane, was flying back in from Jamaica where he had spent some time on the beach and getting a tan, I suppose. But Pretty surprised me. Landon Brother Shane, welcome back to the program.
Well, good morning, Steve.
How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. I was, you're right, disconnected for a week. But, you know, both ends of that trip were kind of interesting in the travels because we went on the 21st of January, of course, the day after the inauguration. We made our connecting flight in Washington, D.C. Well, most of the people on the plane when we went were on a direct flight from Detroit to D.C., you know?
They were getting off. I get it. Yeah, the day that I was trapped in the middle of that march with my wife and my 12-year-old daughter, trapped right in the middle of it, you were just dropping people off for the party.
Well, I felt a little out of place. I was listening to conversation around that plane going, as a white heterosexual man, oops.
Yeah. Did
I felt guilty.
Did you place your hands strategically to protect yourself in case of emergency?
Both hands, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Shane had fear in his eye on that plane, and I can only imagine the conversation you were surrounded with, because, you know, I got to hear much of the same. But it was an educational experience for young Madison, because she's in this crowd of people going, no, wait a second, don't I have the same rights as a man? And I'm like, as long as I've been alive, you do. You know, maybe 100 years ago, Woodrow Wilson tried to prevent that, honey, but he had a stroke, and his wife Ruth made sure that you were able to get that, or whatever her name was.
They were talking about strong women. I'm saying, I like to introduce them to my three daughters. They want to talk about strong women, and so it just frustrated me. But we went down to Jamaica, disconnected for a week, came back on Saturday.
And you got a whole new group of protesters to deal with.
Sure, we get up. I've never switched planes in Chicago through the international terminal Chicago before, so it was a new experience. We get off the plane, we go through, because we only had carry-ons, through a speed line, came out of that exit from there, and we walk in this lobby, and we can't move. We're packed right in there. So we're pushing and shoving, and all of a sudden I realize there's signs all around us, and there's these chants going on, and I'm looking around and protesting not only the ban, but LGBTQRSTUV things and the pipeline and every other thing.
Every other liberal cause you can imagine is on display there. And so, all right, so you're heading to your gate through a mob, a mosh
right,
pit.
Well, the problem is we didn't have a gate assignment. So we're trying to find one of the boards that tells where the departures are going to occur and what gate to go to. Just because it was a short flight at the end of a long trip, they didn't give us a gate assignment immediately.
Right.
So I'm looking for it. We go out around the crowd to go down where I see boards, and we can't get through because shoulder to shoulder to shoulder are these Chicago police officers.
Nice
and
gentlemen.
Rather big men.
Yeah, nice gentlemen. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going, what do I do? Well, they say, where are you supposed to be? I said, don't know, can't find. He says, the one guy was nice, says, jump on the train and try terminal such and such. But the one guy said, where are you going? And I said, Detroit. And he actually, here's a Chicago cop in the middle of this, telling me, I like people from Michigan. You know, they're the most industrial people I've ever met. He's truly saying this to me and going, really? Now?
Well, while he's staring down, you know, a frothing mob of protesters. Now, but before I run out of time here, I got a couple minutes here. But what I also found interesting, because we talked about this yesterday, was not the fact that you had to deal with protesters coming and going, but the attitude of the people that you met in Jamaica while you were down there on vacation, most notably the Canadians, and there were a lot of Canadians, from what I understand, with you, and their attitude about American politics, about Donald Trump, about Justin Trudeau, their own prime minister. What can you tell me?
Well, yeah, the groups that we were down there, there were several different, you know, larger travel groups, and the one was based out of Toronto, so there was a lot of Canadians down there, and Canadians I've always found to be much more astute with American politics than most Americans, but they yeah. were all pro-Trump, almost to the person, and I said something to this one gal, we were on a catamaran ride, and we're just chatting away, and something came up about Trump, and I said, well, you guys are blessed with Trudeau, and she told me if I said that again, she'd throat chop me.
So they don't think much of young Justin. I mean, he is the last liberal leader that's going to survive in the Western world. I mean, they're all falling like, you know, like bowling pins. But why do you think that is? Why do they love Trump?
Well, they see the same problems. You know, there was a shooting in a mosque in Quebec today. They have a lot of overflow, and they're connected to the United States. You know, the Canadians all know that busiest border crossing in the world sits between Windsor and Detroit. and they know the commerce that goes back and forth between the two countries, and they know about Trump because it affects them more than Trudeau affects them.
I'm going to say I bet they're really excited to find out today or this week when they woke up to find out that Justin Trudeau said, well, any refugees that America won't take, we'll gladly accept right here in Canada. I bet that'll excite them a lot.
Well, I'm sure it will, and, you know, because the refugees have figured out that they probably can get across the Canadian border, too, but...
Longest undefended border in the world. But I think that's interesting. First of all, well, don't leave again for a while, all right? Just stick around because you miss a lot in the time that you're gone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to stick around just to help you.
I greatly appreciate that. All right, it's Brother Shane, everybody here on the program. Thank you, Shane, as always.
All righty.
There you have it. I thought it was fascinating when I was talking to him here yesterday, saying, you know, you should come on the program and tell people about the demonstration, but more importantly, the fact that the Canadians that you're on holiday with embrace Donald Trump and don't have much use whatsoever for Justin Trudeau, their own prime minister. And like Shane said, a terrorist attack in Quebec City overnight. We'll tell you more about that. Still to come here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Welcome back to it. My next guest, Liz Peek, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. A lot to talk about, Liz. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I want to play a very quick clip for you, if I may. Go ahead with that, Alex.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
All right, there you go. Good. There's Bill Clinton, State of the Union, 1995, standing ovation from everybody in attendance, including the Democrats. But now, somehow, Donald Trump issuing an executive order that does nothing more than enforce the law signed on the 18th of December, 2015 by Barack Obama. And suddenly he is a bigot and all of these things, Liz. What do you make of it?
Well, I tell you the truth, that I mean, as you point out, and the clip is excellent, the hypocrisy is pretty stunning. And, you know, let's kind of dial it back a moment and recognize that this temporary ban, which is what it is, on processing refugees coming into the country from nations that are hotbeds of terrorism is very popular. If you look at the polling, I think it's like 57% of the country is in support of this. So actually, I think the problem that erupted over the weekend is the Trump administration is new, it's unsettled, it's unpolitical in the sense that they don't have political backgrounds. They got to get their act together because the last thing Trump wants to do is be seen as inept. And I think really what happened over the weekend is this is the first time that they've issued an order or decree or an executive order or whatever that really wasn't fully fleshed out. It didn't consider all the ramifications. And that is, I think, the biggest problem here. I mean, yes, there are going to be people protesting anything you do with immigration because it's a hot button issue.
Anything that Donald Trump does, if Donald Trump says it's lunchtime, they protest.
I think that's true. That's clearly true. But you don't want to feed that machine. And unfortunately, the back and forthing on whether green card holders were involved and so forth and so on kind of.
Well, we know the answer to that now. The answer is no. Green card holders will be vetted again, and they get to come on in. Here's what I continue to come back to this same thought, which is in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, if the election were held today, I think Donald Trump gets more votes because he's doing exactly what he said he's going to do, which is make America safe, put America first, put America's laws first. And I watched this Rasmussen poll where he's up to 57% approval rating. People say, well, that's one of those polls that's leaning to the right. It's also one of the polls that predicted he was going to win on Election Day.
It's true.
Yeah.
No, look, I totally agree. Again, I mean, what worries me just a little bit here is there does seem to be a certain amount of chaos in Washington, in the White House, and I really, you know, I don't want that to happen because Donald Trump was elected in part because he was a business tycoon and he was going to surround himself with people who had managerial experience. What we know about the Obama White House, particularly in the beginning with all that mess of trying to roll out a healthcare program and so forth, they were not good managers, and a lot of things got really messed up. We're hoping that Trump does better because, as you point out, and in fact, I was working on this over the weekend on a column, the truth is he's not as popular as Obama was, but his policies are much more popular. And so focusing on the man is fine. Let Chuck Schumer do that. But the truth is it's going to hurt Democrats if they don't figure out that he's doing what people want him to do.
Well, the fact of the matter is he's doing exactly what people want him to do. And so you've got some protesters that turn out in New York and Chicago. And so these people didn't vote for Donald Trump anyway. It doesn't matter.
True.
I mean, these are not his supporters. And I will tell you, here in the heartland, in the Midwest, in Middle America, in the Rust Belt, people watch that on television, they hear it on the radio, and they say, you know what? I support him. Now, again, they may not say so in a crowded restaurant because they don't want to get heckled and yelled at. The same phenomenon that occurred in November of 2016 will occur again in November of 2020 if this kind of behavior, because a lot of people have a sense of fairness in America, and they don't believe that every time Donald Trump does anything that he gets under attack, there's a sense of fairness. Let the guy have a shot. And even people that didn't vote for him are like, no, wait a second. He deserves a chance.
I agree. And again, because he's following through on things he talked about, whether it's the TPP or the Keystone Pipeline or whatever, these are popular measures. So there has not been a pause in the assault on Donald Trump from the media. And by the way, I don't know about you, I am so tired of John McCain and Lindsey Graham. I don't know when they became the self-appointed authorities of the traditional Republican establishment, but they're as much of a pain in the neck as Chuck Schumer at this point.
Well, they clearly see
the narrative that the Republicans aren't with Donald Trump. I don't know why they're doing this.
I know why. Lindsey Graham came in last place out of a field of 20 people. John McCain was insulted and improperly so by Donald Trump. Donald Trump crossed the line when he talked about John McCain being captured. That was wrong. Yes. He should have apologized and been done with it. But instead, he's had these hard feelings. But again, both of these guys are weakling Republicans anyway, and I don't care. They've been around for a long time. I don't have much use for either one of them either way. I respect John McCain's war service. But after that, as a politician, I have no use. And Donald Trump got more votes than he did. Think about it.
It's true. No, I totally am on board with that. I think it's really sort of offensive that they are always like the first to jump into every controversy, slamming the president. And, you know, as you say, I think around the country, people have to be just, as you say, the sense of fairness, give the guy a chance. There has been not a moment that the Democrats have given him a chance. And by the way, let's not forget that in Trump won states, there are 10 Democratic senators coming up for re-election in 2 years. If this keeps up, the Republicans could end up with a supermajority in the Senate. And boy, that is going to be big, big trouble for Democrats. So I honestly don't know what they're thinking.
Well, there's no question about that. You look at Claire McCaskill in Missouri. You look at Heidi Heitkamp in North Carolina. I think Joe Manchin can make it, but he's got to play ball, right? I believe he's got to play ball.
He has been a little bit.
He has.
He's like the lone ranger out there in terms of kind of reading the tea leaves.
Well, let me ask you this, because you touched on something important before you go. Does the John Kennedy wing of the Democratic Party exist anymore?
It doesn't appear to. I mean, if you look at the people who are running to lead the party, they're really just solid core progressives, and proudly so, and they just don't seem to understand that, they lost the election because they lost exactly those Democrats, the blue-collar, working-class Democrats who traditionally have supported the party, and they defected in droves to Donald Trump. My guess is they're applauding this measure on immigration, and Democrats are just doing nothing to help themselves.
I think your guess would be exactly right. I think they are applauding this. I think they're coming over even stronger behind Donald Trump. And I believe if the election were held today, Donald Trump might get more states than he got the last time around. We'll keep an eye on it.
He might win the popular vote.
Yeah, he might even win the popular vote with or without illegal voting or whatever. Liz Peek, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Have a great week.
You too, Liz Peek from FoxNews.com, the Fiscal Times, and every now and then you see her on TV as well. And a regular contributor to the Steve Gruber Show. Your phone calls after the break.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All right. Let's take your phone calls. The phone line open at 888-900-9966. The Common Sense Hotline there for you. So line it up and make it happen. Talking a lot today about the executive order to put a temporary halt on immigration and refugees from 7 countries. Syria could take a bit longer because until they have proper vetting procedures in place, which they currently do not because of the civil war situation there, it could take a bit longer. Michael is in Flint, listening to WFNT 1470 on the AM dial. Michael, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Steve.
What's on your mind?
I was thinking about the word simulation. That's probably going to be another hot word there, you know, if they use that, because I didn't even think Barack Obama could spell it.
And what do you mean by that? What is your concern?
The refugees coming in, and you know, the simulation of people, refugees or immigrants coming into this country, because I don't even think Barack Obama could spell it, you know, even though he's not in now, but for 8 years, you know, there was no simulation of anybody coming in.
No, that's people came here and set up there, and that's part of the complaint that a lot of people have, is that these people are coming here. They're not here to come into the melting pot. They're not melting at all. They're coming here to make their own deal from wherever they came from, and they're not trying to be part of America. They don't care about American traditions or American history or American culture. They care none of it. And because they vote left, they're being encouraged to do so. Can you imagine if those coming over the southern border, you know, voted by wide margins for Republicans? That wall would have been built years ago. That's a fact. Great. True. Thank you for checking in, Michael. Greatly appreciate it. Yeah, assimilation is not happening the way that it is supposed to. Like Little Italy and Little, you know, Havana and, you know, Little Tokyo and all these different places and different, you know, enclaves you'd have inside of big cities. But Chinatown, you know, whatever it might be. But you would have these people that would become part of the American fabric. They would blend in. You don't see that now. You don't see that the way you once did, which, and again, I'll go back for a history lesson, but this is so easy. So easy. You go back to Teddy Roosevelt. A hyphenated American is no American at all. I happen to agree with that. Here's something else for you to consider, and I'll leave that phone line open for a few more minutes here. Chili's, not my favorite, but Chili's restaurant. Might not even be on my list at all after this story that I read at redstate.com. Chili's restaurants in 2 states apparently joined forces with Planned Parenthood to raise funds for that organization. From lifenews.com comes this little snippet. Earlier this week, Planned Parenthood abortion business affiliate in Indiana and Kentucky posted a promotional code its supporters could use to request that Chili's donate 15% of the pre-tax meal purchase to benefit the abortion corporation. I can't. It's in Indiana and Kentucky, and I've got the flyer is right here. Bring this voucher when you visit Dine In or To Go, the Chili's location identified below, and 15% of your pre-tax purchase will benefit Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky. It was good from January 1st of 2017 through March 31st of 2017. I don't see how that's a very good business plan, boys and girls. I'm just saying. Let's go to Craig standing by on the hotline in Lansing. Craig, welcome to the program.
Hello. Just my thoughts on assimilation. I think that's part of the problem when you start talking about refugees and legal immigrants. illegal immigrants and refugees will not assimilate because they're not here to be an American. It's kind of like your house is on fire and your neighbor that you hate invites you to stay there for a little while they rebuild your house, but you never seem to go back to your house.
You just move in and take over his house. I get your point. I get it.
Right, and I think that's part of the problem with the refugees.
They come here for third world hellholes, and that's what they want to turn it into. Go on.
And the other thing is we can help 12 times as many with the same amount of money if we just do it there.
Well, and let me ask you one other thing.
That's an argument nobody's making.
And, Craig, I want to make one other point. Thanks for stopping in. I'm going to make another point, Craig. Thanks for the phone call. And the point is this. We have millions of children in this country that go hungry every day. You have mothers in shelters because they are the focus of abuse. You have veterans that are homeless on the streets of America. And maybe we ought to turn our sights to taking care of our own before we continue to let the floodgates roll into America. More than 1 million immigrants a year come to America legally, more than the rest of the world combined. So while you're beating up on America, let me just say stop, because it's just not accurate. Let's go to Randy. Randy's on the road. Randy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve. Good job teeing it up. Now let me smack it real hard and hit it out of the park. What you're saying is absolutely true. It's not just young people that are starving, but also people of all ages that are starving for hope. I've been driven from one industry to the next because we've been getting it handed to us through NAFTA. And I have to commute now, long distance, and I drive a car that I can barely fit my ego into. And I have a kid. I have two kids who didn't go to college because, one, I wasn't able to afford it, and, two, they're not dreamers, and they're having that all offered to them right now. And even this current administration, there are rumors that they're within the administration, they're struggling with what to do with that part of it. And I got to tell you, restore hope to your own people first. Give them a chance for a better tomorrow before you start even considering giving it to people that aren't even legally citizens of this nation.
Or don't want to become Americans in every sense of the word either. They don't care about the 4th of July or whatever it may be. Randy, good luck on the road out there, buddy. I appreciate the call in. I'll take a few more of your phone calls. Thank you. I'll take a few more of your phone calls after the top, right after the break here. I'll get right back to it. Robert, stand by. The rest of you stand by. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. It's Monday, and you're listening to The Steve Gruber Show. Quickly to the hotline, Robert standing by in Lansing today. Robert, welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling about Planned Parenthood.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, calling about Planned Parenthood. I noticed over the weekend the media was talking about Donald Trump commemorating the Holocaust, but not mentioning the Jewish people by name. We should hold that same media accountable for Planned Parenthood and the abortion business, that they constantly talk about the right to abortion, but they never mention the unborn children by name.
Well, there you go. Robert, greatly appreciate you checking in. And Chili's having a special in Indiana and Kentucky that you could contribute part of the cost of your meal to Planned Parenthood. I don't think that'll be a big marketing win for them. Just a crazy idea. Leo is now checking in from Ann Arbor, listening to 1600 Wham over there. Leo, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? I didn't vote for Trump, but I did want to comment on the wall and then on the ban they're trying to do. And, when I read the actual thing, at first I was kind of upset and this and that, but I realized most of those countries that are actually being banned are like the Wild West over there. There's, like, no government.
That's right.
So, and I'm thinking, I mean, for my own safety, too, you know, that I think Obama did I was looking some things up, and my conservative friends were showing me that it had, in 2011, I think Obama did a ban for the Iraqis coming in.
That's correct, for 6 months.
And I don't see anything wrong with it.
Here's something else, Leo. This is important. Barack Obama signed this law. that's being enforced. All Donald Trump says it's did in his executive order says now it's time to enforce the law signed by Barack Obama in December of 2015. He's just enforcing a law on the books.
And I don't see anything wrong. And I do hang out. Most of my friends live. I maybe have like a few conservative friends, but they did show a good. That was a good point. That you know, I was kind of getting upset for nothing, and I realized that the countries like I said that they were banning are actually countries that you would want to ban. Actually, they can't.
Remember,
ban their own
Leo.
People.
Remember, the truth is a very powerful tool. And right. And you never know, Leo. You might pull the lever for Donald Trump next time. Just hang in there. Hang in there. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Monday. We'll be right back.